This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which costs around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now, let me repeat. You get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. Is trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report, and here's my episode.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Rodney Howard Brown of Tampa, Florida, is someone I've known for a long time. I have utmost respect for him and his ministry. And he recently returned from Europe, where he visited 43 cities. And I was able to track him down and interview him about this. We talked through them one by one. And if you listened to my podcast yesterday, we talked about the first few cities he went to in Europe, and today we're going to continue that with places like Bulgaria and Italy and Switzerland and Paris, and I can go on, but here is my interview with Rodney. It's one of three that I'm doing in a row with Rodney just because there was way too much to report at one time, and I also wanted to be able to report this online and in my newsletter, The Strang Report. So without any further ado, here is my second podcast interview with Rodney Howard Brown about this amazing campaign called Europe Ablaze. Rodney, this trip to Europe that you did, that you called Europe Ablaze, is so exciting. You have all these stories. And, you know, there's a story almost in every place. You said that you wanted, you know, an upper room. If it was 120, that would have been good enough. But apparently many of the meetings were much more than that because your total attendance was up around 40,000 people altogether. That would have been at least, you know, on average, 1,000 people per city.
Correct. Yeah. You know, the big thing for me was the local church because, as you know, you can have meetings and arenas and at the end of the day, you have pictures. But a local church is vital to the continuation of the move of God in a region. So that was our whole focus. And obviously, in some of the places, they said, Pastor, we won't fit the people in, so we have to get a neutral venue. And I said, that's fine, whatever you want to do. I just didn't feel that I should go in and rent the neutral venue because you can imagine the logistics on that would be so much more. Anyway, from Budapest, we went on to Chisinau, Moldova, which, if you understand, Moldova was under the reign of communism. You know, it's right next door to Romania and poverty, so much poverty. And, of course, what I found out in my travels, that every country that used to be under the control of the former Soviet Union is now, unfortunately, under the control of mafia. Mafia, every kind of mafia imaginable. I mean, from the Vietnamese, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Russian, the Nigerian. It is the craziest thing out to see what is actually taking place. But anyway, so we had a great night in Moldova. From there, we went to Sofia, Bulgaria, also a country that has come out of major, major situations. And even now, the government's trying to put restrictions on the church, but there's a lot of breakthrough happening, a lot of movement for the young people. And the pastor of the church we were at, I believe he's only, what, 26, 25 years old, and he's causing major waves in the country. God's using him in a phenomenal way. From there, we went to Bologna, Italy, which again, if you know Italy, the contrast between what's taking place there with the Roman Catholic Church on the one side and then the Pentecostal denomination on the other side and then the independent churches. But there were hungry people that came from all across Italy, which actually surprised the pastor. He didn't think anybody would come. But we had already identified city tour of Italy probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago. So people came. The Italians are hungry, and they want God, and they want to see their nation shaken. And what I was endeavoring to do in each of these countries was try to get the locals rather than the internationals, because there are international churches in every country. But I said, look, I've got to reach the Italians. So from Italy, we went on to Hanau, Germany, which that was a wonderful meeting, which is right outside of Frankfurt. From there, we went to Zurich, to a church that we have been working with, and the people came from all across Switzerland, the Five God Fell, and then on to Paris, which right in the middle of these yellow jacket riots that had started, the yellow vests, right? In actual fact, the Saturday, the city was on lockdown, you couldn't go anywhere, it was quite crazy. We had the Friday night meeting and then couldn't leave until late Saturday night to get to Amsterdam.
In fact, let me ask you about Paris. You were there, of course, before these fires at Notre Dame. But talk to me a little bit about what you experienced in Paris. You mentioned the kind of, I'll call it rioting, or at least demonstrations in the street. What effect is the church having in that setting? And do you see any significance at all with this fire?
You know, I think, first of all, I think the church was not forlorn. They're using every opportunity. There's major churches. Like, I probably, there was 100 pastors there, and there were some churches that run 5,000 people. And some of them are not French, but they are Parisians. I mean, they've been there 30 years. You know, they're from French-speaking Africa. So there's huge groups there, and they're all very optimistic and winning souls and winning the lost and mobilizing their people to win the lost. I think France is in upheaval, obviously, because of the government and then many of the policies that are being held there. Macron is at the lowest polling right now. I mean, he's doing everything to try to hang on to power. But the French are saying no. Of course, everything's been slanted through the media, whichever way, whichever bent they want to paint. But the French are saying no, we're not going to have this in our country. So I just spoke to them and said, look, you have to pray. And then everybody asked God what you can do and then focus on the souls. And even with many of the refugees that are coming, a lot of them are not radical Islamists. A lot of them are being displaced. Yes, there's a group of people that have another agenda. But I said, look, if you go in there with the love of God, don't mention Muhammad, don't talk about Islam, don't talk about anything, just talk about Jesus. And so that's what many are doing. And they're seeing great results. Many people are being saved. So I think France is in upheaval right now, but I think it's sitting on the brink of what I would call an awakening in France, which will be a spiritual awakening. As far as this fire goes, there's a lot of speculation on what, how, why, and which, like the day before, certain artifacts were removed from the things, you know, just in time for the fire. So I don't even want to get into speculation on this podcast. There's just so much underlying stuff going on right now. Which, you know, obviously it's a historical site. I have been into Notre Dame. I found a group of 100 people praying in other tongues, standing right behind at the back of it, you know. And so it's an iconic place. People see it as an iconic place in Paris, like the Eiffel Tower.
From there, you went to Amsterdam and then on to England.
Yeah. Now, out of the whole of Europe, I would say Eastern Europe is more on fire than anything else. As far as hungry people, this for God, will do anything, whatever. The UK, I found pockets of people that were on fire, but I found an apathy amongst the Christians of the UK. And that was one of the reasons. So, okay, we went from London to Wolverhampton and on to Dublin. I'll tell you about Dublin. Dublin was amazing. I mean, Dublin, the hunger of the Irish, that blew me away. I was just shocked. I think we had over 600 in the altar call that night, and the Five God Fell in Ireland. It was awesome. But as far as England is concerned, the British people tend to get stuck in their head and analyze everything. And not that they aren't. I mean, there's a key church in London that we work with that are running, they're winning souls, and they're radical, they're on fire. So there are pockets of that. But for whatever reason, the Brits always try to analyze. So that was the reason for the next trip, where I told my guys, I said, we have to make another run through England and just see what we can do. So we went back on the second trip, and we finished in Dublin. And then in February, we went across 10 cities. We started in Kilkenny, Southern Ireland, which I just called it Ireland. They said, no, we're Southern Ireland. We've got nothing to do with Northern Ireland. I couldn't believe they still have that differentiation. But anyway, so Kilkenny, then on to Cork and Athlone, and then we went to Belfast, which, again, the places were packed in overflow. Hungry people. We love the Irish. There's a fire that they have. that if you know anything about the history of Ireland, which I know you do, and then even some of the great preachers that they had over the years. And then we went over to Scotland, to Glasgow, which was amazing meeting there. That night, a pastor had been there 30 years. God's used him in a profound way and just strengthening the hands of the local church onto Edinburgh, also another church being there 30 years. And they told me these were the biggest crowds that they'd had. Then down to Surrey, which is a suburb of London. Apparently, there are more billionaires living in Surrey than anywhere else. And it was actually a guy that I'd led to the Lord back in the early 80s. I gave an altar call in South Africa. One person came forward and got saved, and it's this guy. And he went to England, pioneered this church. So we went there. We did one night. He's been very connected in the music industry. One of his songs was used in the 2012 Olympic Games in England, you know. And so he's a Greek Cypriot, a great friend of J. John. You know, everybody knows J. John, the British evangelist. And then we were in London, right in the center of London, beautiful venue that was used, and the power of God hit. I just sat and wept over London, and the Lord gave me a prophetic word and said, England, your time is not finished, it's not done, and that God would send a wave that would sweep across England, and that the Brits would rise up, and it would be a whole new generation of people that are not shackled with religion and tradition, and that we're going to think outside the box, and the masses were going to be reached. And then from there, we went down to Newport, South Wales, a great church down there, great people doing the great work, and then up to Hull.
Well, let me ask about Wales, because, you know, everyone, at least in Christian circles, knows about the Welsh revival in the early 1900s. And you mentioned before revivals that happen and kind of drift away. Is there anything left of that revival? Do people even talk about it over in Wales?
Yeah, look, it's part of their culture. And I tell you, a funny thing where you can still see the results of a Welsh revival is, and this is going to come like out of the blue to the listener, is at a Welsh rugby match. Because you see, the Welsh revival affected every area of culture for Wales. So if you listen to the Welsh at a rugby match, if I send you a link on video, if you pull it up, World Cup Rugby, Wales, Cardiff, Arms Park, you'll hear them singing Bread of Heaven. They'll sing hymns. At a Welsh, they'll hold the beer in their hand and sing a hymn. It's very powerful. So all these years later, now, apparently a few years after the Welsh revival, 1904, they were playing an international rugby match at Cardiff Arms Park in Wales, between Wales and another team, and the crowd was singing Bread of Heaven. The power of God hit the field, and according to the historians, they said that both teams knelt in prayer on the field in the middle of a rugby match. So still to this day, they sing the hymns at a Welsh rugby match. So you can still see vestige of that great Welsh revival that shook the whole of Wales back in 1904. You know, and obviously there's the people who they've kind of formulated how God's going to do this again or whatever. But I think the Lord is not stuck in a box on how that he moves or what he did in 1904. I think there's just another generation, and God is so into reaching a generation that's hungry. As the scripture says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God's looking for people that he can show himself strong on their behalf. So there's no doubt in my mind, as I said, even that night in Wales when I preached, that there's a group of people that will cry out and God will visit them, and there'll be a wind that'll blow across Wales, and the fire of God's going to shake Wales one more time, which I really feel with all my heart, that God's going to shake the United Kingdom one more time. I feel that. I don't feel that it's finished, it's over, it's done, the final curtain has fallen. I feel there's a window, and that's what the whole purpose of our trip, the one nights to light fires, churches that will catch a blaze, pastors that will be mobilized, young people, businessmen, businesswomen, governmental leaders, people that will take on the torch and that will run and carry the fire to their generation.
Well, of course, England has a great history too, going all the way back to John Wesley, you know, even the Puritans who are the ones that, you know, came over and brought Christianity at least to Massachusetts. The Catholics were already down here in Florida, but those are just two examples of great heritage that England has. And yes, we have to believe for a new revival. Let's wrap up this podcast and we'll pick up in another one. I hope that you'll share this with friends. You know, what's happening in Europe? What's happening spiritually? People receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, people committing themselves to full-time Christian service and saying that they will take the gospel, mobilize to win souls. These kind of statistics are not being reported widely. And all of this with Rodney Howard Brown has just happened. And there's even more. This concludes my second podcast with him specifically about Europe Ablaze. And tomorrow we'll continue with the last 10 or 15 cities that he visited and had such great response. I'm sure that you'll be inspired. Be sure to tune in tomorrow to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this far and wide. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.